As promised, we are joined right now by an NFL on CBS analyst. He is also an NFL Network analyst. He is also a Madden analyst. And on top of that, he is a good friend of the program. He is Charles Davis. Charles, it's been a moment or two since we last spoke. How are you doing, and how is your life right now with the NFL back?
Oh, it's good to talk with you again, Jim. You're right. Last time we saw each other was Super Bowl.
That is true. So how you doing, man?
Boy, what a great time that always is. But my life is fantastic because the NFL is back. So who can be upset with that? And look, I'm not going to get into all the rest of the stuff that we're continuing to combat in this world. We're all trying to fight it the proper way. But when you look out and you see the full stadiums again and the enthusiasm and smiles on people's faces. I was in Pittsburgh this past week, and you know how much they love their Steelers. They had a doubleheader. Pitt played at home on Saturday, the Steelers on Sunday. It was pretty cool.
That is really cool, actually. Charles Davis joining us. So there's a lot of energy, and people are fired up. So you've got the Raiders and the Steelers, Charles. The Raiders, let me ask you about them. They were coming off a short week. They were traveling a long way for that game. What were you expecting to see from them, and then what do you make of the way the Raiders showed up?
Jim, we were, you know, I think our whole crew and probably all of us in the football world had the same question on our minds, and I need you to just chime in very quickly. I think we were all saying, okay, what will the Raiders look like? They have every reason to not play well in this game. Injuries in the offensive line. Big win on Monday night to open up their brand new stadium, so it's a short week. Go up there, give a little bit of effort, but if ultimately you don't win or you kind of, hey, no one expects us to anyway. Instead, they had even more injuries that occurred. More injuries during the game. Now, Pittsburgh had their share as well, so it's not like I'm just saying, hey, it was all about the Raiders. But to go on the road and play with that energy, play with that passion, foil much of what Pittsburgh was trying to do on offense with a defense that was abysmal last year. John Gruden putting the game totally in Derek Carr's hands because Josh Jacobs wasn't available to run the football. You put it all together, that's one of the most impressive wins the Raiders have had in many a year. And I've heard all the talk. You have too, Jim. Hey, okay, the Raiders start 2-0 the last 2 years. They end up finishing 7-9, 8-8. I think this team has a chance to be better than that. We're going to withhold judgment just a little bit as the season plays out, but they feel like a different team, especially on the defensive side of the ball with Gus Bradley as their new defensive coordinator.
Charles Davis joining us. I agree with you. And to answer your question, what I expected was, you know, normally, Charles, when everybody goes one way, I want to go the other way, except that I went the same way as everybody else. And specifically what I did expect, I expected that Steelers defense to dominate that Raiders line, and this is not what happened. Let me ask you about the quarterback, Derek Carr. He threw for nearly 400 yards. He had a couple of touchdowns in the win. He had more than 260 yards in the second half. He's been great in the past and also taken a lot of heat in the past. Exactly where do you think he is right now as a quarterback?
At his best. Absolutely at his peak as a quarterback in the NFL right now. I think all the questions that we've all asked over the years about, is Derek Carr John Gruden's guy? What kind of relationship do they have? You know, is there somebody else out there that they covet? I think all of that is being laid to rest by the way Derek Carr is playing. They had a slow start in the Monday night game. We remember that. They didn't play much in the preseason. And from really second quarter on, opening night, Derek Carr has been really, really good. Add in the toughness factor he doesn't get enough credit for because he got a pretty good shot on the ankle. They tape it up. He comes back out and throws a 61-yard touchdown pass to Ruggs. And Pittsburgh hadn't pressured much in that game, which is unusual for them. But on that play, they brought the fifth guy. They brought the nickel back as the fifth guy. He throws it off the back foot and arches it up there and hits Ruggs perfectly downfield. I think he's absolutely at his peak, seeing the game, understanding the game, playing the game with extreme confidence. And you can just tell, whatever we talked about before, Jim, I think we need to throw it out the window. He and John Gruden are perfectly in sync. He is John Gruden's quarterback, and John Gruden is happy to be his coach.
Charles Davis is joining us. All right, Charles, what about Ben Roethlisberger? After the game, he said, quote, "I need to be better." How has he looked to you in the first two games of the season, and where do you think that he thinks that he needs to improve?
I think that, one, he took that on for the entire team, Jim. I don't think that was just strictly him talking about himself. He's saying he needs to be better because, as an 18-year guy, he knows he needs to be the leader. And he has some youngsters on this team that he can't throw under the bus. One at left tackle in Dan Moore, one at center in Kendrick Green, one at running back in Najee Harris, one at tight end Pat Freiermuth. So he's got to get all this integrated. and they're continuing to work on that. Oh, yeah, he's got a new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. So that's one thing. The second part, if we're being specific where he needs to be better, is he needs help. They have to run the football. And I know it's a tired trope. I get all that. People at home are like, but we throw it in the NFL. The Steelers are built to run the ball because it helps their defense be even more dominant than what they usually are. That defense hung in there with Derek Carr and crew as best they could. They ran the ball for 39 yards, Jim. I feel like I'm in bizarro world when I watch the last 3 years of Pittsburgh Steelers running the football. It just doesn't make sense, does it? This is a team that's near the end of the league or dead last in running the football. That's why they drafted Najee Harris. That's why they added the offensive lineman. They still don't have that coordination yet. The game is still on the shoulders of Big Ben way too much, and people are defending the receivers well on the run after the catch. They're not getting the big plays after they catch the football very often. And so where Ben's saying he needs to be better, I think they need to help him. They need to be able to run the ball more so that when they do run that dink and duck, you know, duck throwing, it becomes much more effective downfield.
Well, I'm with you. In fact, you're ahead of me. I was going to ask you about that, Charles. I think that offensive line is still very much a work in progress and, to me, very much a concern. Charles Davis is joining us, so you already answered that question. Let me ask you really quickly about the defense. T.J. Watt left that game with a groin injury. If he misses any extended period of time, what does that mean for the entire Steelers defense?
It changes their rotation, Jim, because what we saw in Buffalo when T.J. Watt was healthy and had the super fresh legs coming off of the hold-in in training camp, even though he trained really hard, I do think the old adage about, you know, being in shape and football shape are always going to be two different things. And we've seen this many times where guys have come off of not playing much in the preseason or holding out or whatever and are pretty darn good in game one, and we all joke the same way, don't we? Didn't need training camp. I forgot what year it was. Lawrence Taylor held out the entire preseason, shows up on a Saturday. I think they opened on a Monday in Washington. Just a guess. I don't know if I have it exactly right. But I feel like Lawrence got like 3 sacks that night. And we were all, Lawrence Taylor, he doesn't need it. But he was at an age where his body didn't recover the same way. And I'm being somewhat facetious, but I may not be too far off. Jim, his next sack came like week 8. Okay, his body just didn't react the way you would have thought it would have. With T.J. Watt, it's different because he's younger, but he was spectacular in Buffalo. And now he tweaks a groin, making a cut. I just wonder how much of that is coming off of like going from 0 to 100 and being able to do that again the next week. Hopefully he'll be back soon. But how it changes things is now Melvin Ingram's a frontline guy. He had hoped to be a rotational guy, you know, this part of his career. Alex Highsmith has to really step up and become even more of a force off the edge. And now your third outside linebacker is Jahmyr Jones, who came out of Notre Dame 2 years ago, didn't make it in the league, goes back to Notre Dame's pro day last year. They notice him, sign him, and he makes a team on special teams. But now he's your third outside linebacker. It's a big change for them.
Charles Davis joining us, breaking it all down. All excellent points. Now, you mentioned Buffalo. How about the Bills? They bounce back from that loss to Pittsburgh in week one. They hammer Miami in Miami 35-0. Charles, when you look at the Bills and what you've seen so far, how do you think this year's version compares to last year's team?
I think this year's version may not have this exact same record as last year's version, but I think by the end of the year, barring the catastrophic injuries we all, you know, just put out there, they'll be a better football team. And here's why. Week one, I felt like they approached the game like it was just going to be a continuation of 2020. We'll do the exact same things in terms of, hey, they can't cover us. We can put 5 out there, put it all in Josh's hands, et cetera, et cetera. And they had a few bumps along the way. Brian Daboll is a very smart offensive coordinator. He caught a lot of grief about, you know, game one and that fourth down call and all that. People need to put that aside. Brian Daboll is too smart not to adjust, and we saw some of that in this game against Miami. They'll be fine. The big deal's on the defensive side. They drafted Greg Rousseau out of Miami because they needed a pass rusher. Did you see him yesterday? 2 sacks. Those long arms, plays with that length. That's what they need. I think they'll be better on that side of the ball, and that's why ultimately they'll be a better team, and they'll be even more battle-tested because the schedule's going to be tougher for them this year, too. I like Buffalo a lot. I thought that week one, yeah, they got beat by a pretty darn good Steelers team. They're always going to be the Steelers. But overall, maybe a little bit of a wake-up call for Buffalo. I think they'll be fine.
Spending a few more moments with Charles Davis. Charles, I know you're focused on the game that you were calling, but I want your thoughts on Zach Wilson, if you don't mind, because he had that really rough day for the Jets. He had the four interceptions. He heard the boos. I know you studied him closely ahead of the NFL draft. What would you say to Jets fans who are worried two starts into his NFL career?
Yeah, it's understandable why you're worried, because we're in that time frame where everything is a reaction right here, right now, and that, you know, we're now blueprinting that's who you are. We keep forgetting that people grow. We keep forgetting that people learn. Here's the thing. I'm not going to pull the Aaron Rodgers relax thing, but Zach, and this is something I wrote down at the end of my scouting this year, or I getting ready for the draft, and I wrote it in big letters in my book, and it's very simply this. Let's not get too crazy when we watch these pro days with the off-platform throws that wow everyone. Let's make sure that they can drop back 3, 5, 7 steps, hit that back foot, and hit the receiver in the proper spot. Not that Zach Wilson can't do that. He can. But the wow plays are why we get so excited about him. Drew Lock and his off-platform performance in his pro day, that's what got people excited. That's why at Denver we thought he was going to be that guy. I could go on and on, Jim. Bottom line is, can you do the fundamentals? As Mike Tomlin likes to say, we want to do the fundamental things fundamentally well every play, right? Okay, got it. Bottom line is, that's what you need to see with Zach Wilson. Right now I think he's trying to make all those BYU off-platform throws, spectacular plays. He's got to take the routine, do those every single time, and I think that's what Robert Saleh and the Jets staff would be coaching him on. Hey, hit the routine plays, let the spectacular happen when they're supposed to. Every play, you can't turn it into one of those. That's what the Jets fans have to focus on, and I think this young man will make that shift.
Charles Davis, my guest. Really quickly, Charles, earlier this year you were on the call of the Black College Football Hall of Fame Classic over Labor Day weekend. Now, back in the day, your father played at Bluefield State in HBCU. So what did it mean to you to be on the call for the Classic this year?
It meant everything for me, absolutely. And then the reason, one of the big reasons why I'm excited to do it every year is to honor my father and to honor all the people who played at the HBCUs. Bluefield State, as you mentioned, where my dad played, the Big Blues, they dropped football. They just brought it back this year for the first time, Jim, and Bluefield State integrated in the 1970s. So they're going to have football for the first time since then. That gives my dad a sense of pride. Roger Brown, one of the great players at Maryland Eastern Shore, actually was Maryland State back in his day. My dad played against Roger Brown. He just passed away the other day. You know, these are the type of things that are meaningful, and I was raised in it. My birthday gift every year were tickets to the Whitney M. Young Classic in New York. I got to see Grambling and Alcorn State and Bethune-Cookman and teams like that come through. It means everything to me, especially in tribute to my dad.
Really cool stuff. He is an NFL and CBS analyst. He is an NFL Network analyst. He is a Madden analyst. He is a good friend of the program. He is Charles Davis. Charles, I appreciate it. Hope you and I can see each other again really soon, and it's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy. I would certainly love to see you again long before the next Super Bowl.
You got it, my man. Take care. Be good. And we'll do it again soon. Charles Davis, NFL analyst for CBS Sports.